Let's turn in our Bible, please, to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17, verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And he goes on, let's back up. If you're joining the broadcast for the first time, there are some things we need to catch you up on. We have been, from John's vantage point, viewing things that are yet to be. The occurrence of these events is as certain as if we were reading history. However, it is a pre-historical account, if you will, because the events have not happened yet. Prehistorical, prophetic, however you choose to say it, but it will happen. Now, we have, in our study of the book of Revelation, we have looked at the series of judgments that are in store for this world after the removal of the church. Beginning with chapter 6, we observe the opening of the seals in that first series of seven judgments known as the seal judgments. Let me digress here just briefly. If you are a stranger to the broadcast and to this study, you will note as you look at the book of Revelation that it is divided into basically three parts, given to you in chapter 1, verse 19, when the Lord told John, Write the things which thou hast seen, past tense, the things which are, chapters 2 and 3, going to be the present tense, and the things which shall be hereafter. Everything after chapter 3 is future. Past, present, and future, the things that he had seen, everything in chapter 1, the present tense, the things which are, at this point in time would have been the letters to the seven churches in Asia. That's chapter 2 and chapter 3. And the things which shall be hereafter, beginning with chapter 4. I point this out because at the conclusion of chapter 3, with the conclusion of chapter 3, the church is never again mentioned as being on the earth. The rapture has occurred, apparently, and when you get to chapter 6, you find the beginning of that period of time referred to in the scripture as the tribulation. It is normally referred to, if you see it in writing, as tribulation with a capital T, as opposed and distinguished from tribulation, trials and tribulations. The idea is simply of trouble. However, this seven-year period that begins with the opening of these six seals, seven seals rather, a period of 7 years of unparalleled trouble for the people on the earth, and I said six seals, primarily because each one of those seals, as they are opened, there is judgment that follows. But when the seventh seal is opened, there's silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And then you'll find that the result of the seventh seal's opening was the beginning of the trumpet judgments. It's interesting. It is as though everything having to do with judgment is coming out of those seven seals. For out of the seventh seal comes the trumpet judgments, and with the sounding of the seventh trumpet comes forth then the judgment known as the vial judgments, the bowl judgments. All of these, it's just like perhaps the idea of a telescoping, an opening that way, one coming from another, right straight on down through. In any case, you in chapter 16 have seen the completion, the culmination of the vial judgments. And these judgments, please keep in mind, in the context of the book of Revelation, makes this whole tribulation period a time of wrath, God's wrath. Please keep in mind that the scripture says in First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, that he hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to the obtaining of salvation. Now, when we get to chapter 17, we have come to a point where now we're going to be dealing with, or seeing God deal with, what is referred to as the great whore. The essence of whoredom is infidelity. Some might assume that it's splitting hairs, but there are shades of difference in the choices of words that are used. A harlot or a prostitute, for instance, is one who sells her body for sexual pleasures, but she does it for the money, or she does it for material gain. However, a whore may do the same thing, with the exception of this. She doesn't do it for money. She does it because she wants to. She does it because she finds her own satisfaction in this infidelity. And I don't think it's merely a coincidental word choice that this individual is called the great whore. You will notice that we are speaking symbolically here, or figuratively, or rather John is. She sits upon many waters. The waters that you're speaking of here, or seeing here, are consistent with, synonymous to, the Gentile nations that you saw the beast, the first beast, rising out of in chapter 13. She sitteth upon many waters. You'll notice it talks about the kings of the earth, the rulers, the governments of the earth, having committed fornication with her. The angel carries John away in the spirit. This is a vision. Carries him away in the spirit into the wilderness, and he sees this woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy. Now, the word beast here is coming from the same word that you saw back in chapter 13, the wild, vicious, unruly, unpredictable, wild thing, okay? Scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, we know from Daniel's vision, and we know also from the material we saw in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, we're speaking here of the Antichrist, specifically the government of the Antichrist. You will notice that before she is associated here with the beast, she is already sitting. The term sitting in the Orient, in the Eastern Hemispheres, the idea is a position of superiority. You stand in the presence of your superior, or kneel, but you don't sit. When a judge was about to pronounce sentence, he always sat on the bema seat, on the judgment seat. When he spoke from the seat, it was law. Now, in this case, you will notice the woman in verse 1 is sitting. It's a position of dominion over the Gentile nations. You will find that the kings of the earth commit fornication with her. There's an immoral relationship between this woman and the rulers of the world. Now, the angel who is talking to him and says, come hither in verse 1, now carries him away, and he sees the same individual, the same woman, riding on the back, or sitting upon the back, of the scarlet-colored beast. And the name was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. We spoke about this in the last session. This is terribly expensive clothing. You say, how do you know that? Well, you and I may not pay much attention to the color of clothing today. We just see something we like, and we've got the money, we buy it. We like the color, we buy it. But purple, back in Bible times, was an extremely expensive dye. It was made from the crushed shells of a particular mollusk, a murex, I believe it was called, oyster or clam. These mollusks live at great depth, and people who harvested these mollusks did not have access to scuba gear or deep sea diving equipment. They simply took a breath and they had special rocks that were designed for this, had handholds on them, and they would take these rocks and dive into the water, and they would go down on just simply a lung full of air, and grab as many as they could and come back to the surface. How many died from the bends, how many died by drowning is, well, hard to say. But it was because of the danger involved and all of that that made this dye exceptionally expensive. And so the idea of the purple and the scarlet, this is expensive, okay? She's decked with or adorned with, gilded with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. The filth, the awful faithlessness of it. Upon her head was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. She gives rise to, she is the source, the origin of harlotry and everything that is evil. That is, as far as vices go and things of that sort. Now, historically, the city of Babylon is credited with the rise of prostitution. That's where it began. It's also credited with the beginnings of experimentation with fermentation, with strong drink. Now, let's back up a minute. The woman is arrayed in purple and scarlet color. Talks about gold, precious stones, and pearls. Now, I'm not going to be perhaps quite as aggressive in naming this entity as others may be, because I don't think we have seen the completed picture in the world today of what is going to be. However, there are certain things that we are going to discover here in chapter 17 and in chapter 18 that tend to point the direction of the reader, the attention of the reader, to a specific thing. Now, if we go back into the early days of the church, they were convinced that the Antichrist was Nero. When Nero came and went, they said, well, obviously we were wrong. During the Reformation period, the Reformers were convinced that the Antichrist in this, in chapter 13, was descriptive of the Pope, and that the great whore was a personification to the Roman Catholic Church. Now, as we look at the descriptions that are given here, there are certain things that make it very difficult to ignore that supposition, both in terms of the colors, purple, scarlet, the abundance of gold and precious stones and pearls, and the fact that she indeed ruled over the Gentile nations. The governments had alliances and relationships with the church. Now, I do not have time to finish. As a matter of fact, it's time for me to sign off. But I hope you'll join me on the next broadcast as we continue our study of the book of Revelation, chapter 17.